The Dollverse by Califer Fick, read by Counteragent, for Gen Gen 5.
Dollhouse by Califer Fick, read by Counteragent, rating G. Summary: A curse leaves Dean a little short.
Dude, that's not even funny. Where the hell did you get that thing, anyway?
Sam asked on a Tuesday morning when he woke up to a very realistic-looking Dean doll in the bed opposite him, sheep pulled up over its tiny torso and head on the pillow.
What thing? The doll asked, and Sam fell out of bed.
I told you not to touch the shrunken heads, Sam mused, watching in fascination as the Dean doll paced the small counter separating the hotel room's kitchenette from the main room.
You think that old witch cursed me because I touched her creepy heads?
Dean asked incredulously. He held his little arms up and let out a sigh.
Man, I don't even have fingers,
he bemoaned, waggling his arms in Sam's direction so his younger brother could see that his arms ended in a seam.
You juggled them while singing You Are My Sunshine, Sam pointed out, and Dean snorted, the sound muted because it was pushed through a fabric throat.
Do you think I have feet in these? He asked, holding up a tiny boot, and Sam clapped a hand to his face.
Stop it, Dean snapped. You're just really soft, man, Sam said with a grin, reaching forward to squeeze Dean's middle again, Dean slapping at him ineffectually with plushy arms.
It could be worse.
Oh, really? How, pray tell?
Dean demanded, looking as indignant as someone with drawn-on eyebrows could manage.
Well, at least you're not filled with those styrofoam balls, Sam said, lower lip trembling as he fought off a grin. Because then, he added, losing the battle and letting a snort through, you'd be beanie deeny.
I am going to kill you, Dean promised.
Sam woke in the middle of the night when something soft tapped his cheek. When he opened his eyes, the first thing he saw was a tiny clown face, and behind it a very big knife.
"Still think this is funny, Sammy?"
a menacingly high-pitched voice growled, and Sam screamed. Hours later, Dean sat outside the bathroom door.
"I said I'm sorry," he called. "I've taken the face paint off."
8 hours back to Wilmington, Sam said, map spread over the Impala's hood and Dean sitting next to it. The wind kept whipping the corner back, and finally, with a frustrated growl, Sam picked Dean up and put him down on the offending corner.
"Dude, you did not just use me as a paperweight," Dean snapped, and Sam flushed.
"Sorry," Sam sighed, going to pick up Dean again, but he held his arms up.
"That's fine," he grumbled, flopping back with his arms and legs splayed. "Just don't take all day."
"Are we sure it was her?" Sam mused. "That old lady?"
I'm thinking the woman with the cat bones over her doorway is a safe bet as the cursing kind,
Dean said, looking up at the sky and the clouds skidding past.
Hey, I also discovered something disturbing, he added, and Sam looked at him with an eyebrow raised.
More disturbing than you being a doll?
I can't swear.
What do you mean? Sam asked, nudging Dean aside so he could fold up the map. All I can say is farm animal and shoot, he griped. Sliding his jacket off his little shoulders, and Sam tried not to make a noise when a tiny denim shirt was revealed underneath.
You're right, Sam nodded. That is the most disturbing thing about this whole experience. Shut up.
The brothers stopped at a small motel just outside of Wilmington.
One bed? Dean asked when they got through the door, and Sam chuckled. Dude, you're as big as my hand. We can put a pillow in the sink and you'll be set. You're enjoying this far too much, Dean grumbled.
What are you doing?
Sam asked, a yawn cracking his face in half. He was trying to sleep, but it wasn't helping when he got a tiny boot in the head every few minutes. Dean huffed a sigh, rolling off the pillow he'd been on and onto the bed, thumping his legs and arms in frustration.
My eyes don't close.
Come here, Sam sighed, grabbing Dean round the middle and tucking him into his elbow, dropping a hand over his little face.
Thanks,
Dean said, sounding strangely choked up.
You're a good brother.
I'm not going to suffocate you, am I? Sam asked, suddenly worried.
Dude, I'm pretty sure there's no lungs in here,
Dean reassured, patting his chest.
She's a snake oil salesman!
Sam slammed through the motel door, looking furious.
What's that got to do with de-dolling me?
Dean asked. He was glad Sam was back, because although he'd been left with the TV remote, he found that pushing the buttons was not something you could effectively do with soft, squishy stumps instead of hands. I mean, she curses people, and then she sells them the cure, Sam explained, flopping onto the bed and managing to bounce Dean off. He caught him one-handed, and Dean tapped Sam's fingers and then swung his feet, his little yarn mouth twisting up into what Sam assumed was supposed to be a smirk. You think she takes credit? End. Dull Day Afternoon by Kelliver Fick. Read by Counteragent. Rating PG. Category Gen. Summary. Dean has to spend 15 days as a doll. Just don't call him Beanie Deanie. Day 1. It's not that bad. Dean is sitting on the dash of the Impala with his little boots pressed to the windshield because, oh yeah, he's stuck being a doll. He wants to scowl, but he can tell by his reflection that his face isn't as cooperative when plush as it is when flesh. He turns around, using a hand to push his eyebrows down, so Sam can tell he's unhappy.
Dude, what are you doing?
Sam asks instead with a snort. Fire truck you, Dean snaps, and then throws himself down, flailing his arms and legs, because he also can't swear. He has 15 days of this to go, and he needs to devote most of that time trying to figure out how to strangle Sam with soft, stumpy arms. Day 2. As if it isn't humiliating enough being a doll, Sam also has to come and rescue him from being dragged off by a chihuahua from the next room. Okay, so maybe afterwards, having stolen a doll from the little girl on the other side and removing its leg, leaving it just inside their room with a trail of stuffing leading to the bathroom, wasn't very nice. Sam screaming, though? Totally worth it. Day 3. Man, I am sick of not having a dinkle. What the hell is a... You know what? I don't want to know. Day 4. Dean stands at the window with his face pressed against the glass. When a little boy passes, Dean waves, and the kid's mouth drops open. Stop doing that, Sam snaps from the other side of the room. He has the laptop open and is looking for a way to break Dean's curse early. Squashing over 6 foot into a package slightly bigger than his hand seems to have given them concentrated Dean, which is slowly driving Sam insane.
Why? You're mooshing your face all out of shape. I am not going to spend half an hour fixing it for you again. You're a cruel brother,
Dean complains, hopping down from the window with a thump. He doesn't even try to land on his feet, rather pitching himself off things and then picking himself up afterwards. When Sam had asked about that, disconcerted, Dean had shrugged and said,
I'm pretty much a pillow. It doesn't matter if I land on my head.
I'm bored, Sammy. Take me to a movie.
I'm not taking a doll to a movie,
Sam grits.
Fine, I'll amuse myself,
Dean says, and pulls Sam's duffel over, yanking it open and crawling inside. Sam watches it twitch for about 10 seconds before he can't stand it any longer.
What are you doing? He demands. Seeing what comes out when I poop, Dean calls, muffled from inside the bag. Movie sounds great,
Sam relents, picking up his bag and tipping Dean out.
No, you'd see it my way, Dean says, dusting himself off.
Day 5. Sam patiently holds a squirming Dean under the hand dryer in the motel's public bathroom.
I told you not to try and shower, man, he scolds, turning Dean over to get an even dry. Not my fault, Dean huffs. I didn't expect to lose structural integrity.
Day 6.
You're hilarious.
Dean has woken up between two halves of a hamburger roll.
You said yesterday you felt like a burger. I was just making your dream come true.
Day 7.
You're not taking my boots off, Dean says, dodging Sam's questing hands.
He's quick as a doll and can squeeze into spaces Sam can't reach. He wedges himself behind the room's radiator and Sam curses.
You keep kicking me in the chin while we're asleep. Either the boots come off or you sleep in the sink.
Dean crawls out from behind the radiator, accepting Sam brushing him off when he drags about 6 months' worth of dust with him.
I just... You can't, he says, and he sounds so miserable that Sam pauses. You really don't want me to that much? No, I mean you can't. I tried getting them off the first day and they're...
Dean takes a large, watery-sounding sniff, which is an achievement considering his throat is cotton.
They're stitched on. Dude, Sam breathes. That's...
Yeah, I know. The sink for me. No, it's... Sam snags Dean as he makes his way over to the bathroom. I mean, it's fine. I'll cope. Sam tries to remember how upset Dean had looked when, hours later, Dean tucked into the crook of his elbow and Boots beating a steady rhythm against his sternum. Sam mysteriously finds he's unable to sleep. It doesn't help that he could have sworn he heard Dean murmur, "Sucker," right before climbing into the bed. Day 8. What the hell is this thing? Dean demands when he gets grabbed by Sam and something is shoved down the back of his jeans. I'm sick of panicking every time I can't see you, Sam explains, and then claps once, loud. Dean's butt beeps. It's one of those key rings you get if you're always losing your keys. I am going to kill you, Dean promises, trying to inject menace into his tone. You know, you're adorable when you're trying to threaten me, Sam says. Day 9. Hey! Sweet cheeks! Sam runs for it when the biker, who must outweigh him by 200 pounds, wheels around. Sam yanks Dean out of his backpack and shakes him. Are you kidding me? He yells. Maybe next time you'll take me seriously, Dean squawks in triumph. Day 10. Sam wakes from his mid-afternoon crash when he feels small Boots walking up his back. He props himself up on his elbows and looks over his shoulder. Dean flops down on his stomach when he reaches Sam's shoulder blade and drums his feet thoughtfully. So I'm thinking this sucks, he says. And you came to this startling realization when? Sam asks, more bemused than anything. He would have pegged Dean for a full-on meltdown much earlier, and had almost been weirded out by the relative calm with which Dean had accepted his new, albeit temporary, form. I need to kill something, Dean says, almost sagely, propping his chin on a tiny arm. Sure, Sam says, plucking Dean off his shoulder and putting him down in front of the weapons duffel. The minute you find something you can lift, I'll go with you. Dean looks back around at Sam, and Sam's pretty sure he's trying to glare, but it's hard to tell with button eyes. Dean stands, dusts himself off, and marches purposefully for the duffel. He dives inside, and moments later he's dragging back an automatic that's probably twice his size and 10 times his weight. I can, Dean huffs, totally lift this. Off the floor, Sam says, rolling onto his side and watching Dean struggle with barely contained glee. He knows it's not really sporting to be tormenting Dean in such a way, but he'd had about 15 years of being smaller when they were growing up, and Dean hadn't exactly been sporting then. Dean puts the gun flat on the floor, then wriggles, shoves, and pushes until he's mostly under it. It's squashing him comically flat, but Sam has to give it to him. The gun is off the floor. I'm not taking you hunting, Sam says, rubbing a tired hand over his eyes. You wouldn't even make decent ammo. Dean flails his arms, because it seems that getting out from under the gun is proving more difficult than getting under it. Sam leans over and plucks the gun off him, watching Dean slowly fill back out. He actually picks Dean up and plumps him, because the whole roadkill look unnerves him. Dean puts up with Sam's ministrations only long enough to be three-dimensional again before he's kicking tiny Boots, demanding to be put down. I'll show you who's good for ammo, Dean snarls. Day 11. The problem is, there's a hunt that can't wait the next town over. Dean is like a bloodhound for a hunt, even in small doll form, and shoves the paper under Sam's nose during breakfast the next day. 4-year-old children have been going missing in homes ringing an old well, and although the thing has been drained and searched, they aren't being found. Dean swears to stay in the car, so Sam grudgingly takes him along, knowing from the information he can pull together that the creature is probably a scatter, a dank, water-dwelling monster that feasts on small bones. Holy water and jasmine will kill it, but Sam is in trouble when he disposes of one scatter that crawls out of the well right on midnight, and its 15 or so infuriated cousins pour out. Something whistles by his right ear when one of the creatures is hooking a taloned hand at his face, and Sam feels droplets of water on his cheek. The scatter that had launched itself at him, plus the 3 remaining behind it, let out squeals of pain and outrage, and Sam kicks aside the struggling mass to find Dean, soaking wet and laughing hard. Sam finds, when they get back to the car, 5 elastic bands all knotted together and stretched between the sides of one of the car windows. Dean had rigged up a catapult, of all things. He also smelled faintly like whiskey.
"You tipped booze on yourself? I didn't think that would hurt them," Sam says.
"I meant to tip holy water on me," Dean says. "I got the wrong flask on my first try." Day 12. They both sleep. Sam sprawled on his back and Dean held loosely in one hand. The other dropped over his face. Despite being held outside the Impala's window on the way back to the motel, he still smells faintly like whiskey. Sam finds it familiar and comforting and would never admit that to Dean. Day 13. It was inevitable, really. Dean is propped up on the diner table as Sam eats, after having sworn he would yell from the backpack if he wasn't taken out. He disappears, and when Sam finally finds him under the table, he's talking to another doll. A Barbie.
"What are the odds?"
Dean asks, innocently. "What did you do?" Sam demands, snatching Dean and the disconcertingly giggly Barbie up.
"Dad had this animation spell in his diary, kind of like a protective thing, so if you want to hide something valuable, it'll move about. I was just..."
"Dude, you only have to wait 3 more days."
"He says I'm pretty,"
the Barbie chirrups from Sam's other hand.
"This is just wrong, even for you," Sam groans.
Day 14.
"Sam!"
Dean yells in indignation, mostly muffled because he's locked in the Impala's glove compartment. Day 15.
"Sad."
Sam.
"Happy."
Sam. "Astonished."
Sam!
"What?"
"Quit doing that and put me down."
"You're the one complaining about not being able to make expressions," Sam says, as Dean slaps ineffectually at his hands.
"I'm just helping."
"You're pushing my face all out of shape," Dean complains. He's set on Sam's knee and it's a long drop, so he stays put.
"Today, right?" "Should be. You feel any different?"
"Nah, but I didn't feel any different when the curse was put on me," Dean says, and then sighs. Sam is giving him puppy dog eyes, and that's just not fair.
"All right, fine," he grumbles. "Just give me a piston going to kill my brother look," Dean adds when Sam reaches for him again.
He feels the gentle push-pull of Sam's fingers and grunts, slapping at Sam's hands again.
"You're making me smile, aren't you?" he grumbles.
There's an almighty crack, and then a full-sized Dean sprawled across Sam.
"Ow, get off me, you oaf!"
Sam squeaks. Dean pivots, laughing, and slaps hands on either side of Sam's face.
"Let's see how you like it,"
he crows, digging fingers into Sam's mouth and dragging up, giving him a macabre smile. Sam manages to get one leg up and around and kicks Dean off onto the floor. Dean lays on his back for a moment, looking up at the ceiling and still laughing. He thumps his chest once and then waggles his fingers.
"I miss you, Thumbs," he announces,
and that sets Sam off. They both laugh until they're sore, and then head out. Dean in search of the biggest burger he can find, and Sam following the faint scent of whiskey. End. Dolls of War. 5 Occurrences of a Very Unfortunate Nature. By Kellifer Fick. Read by Counteragent. Rating PG. Category Gen. Summary. Cut scenes from When a Curse Made Dean Huggable. The Time with the Dryer. Sam's not really paying attention when he wakes up on a Wednesday and gathers his clothes for the wash. He would normally sort, but his brother is currently a doll due to a particularly annoying curse, and he's been run pretty ragged. It's only when Sam is slumped in a plastic chair in front of the big industrial-sized dryer in the automat after his pile of sodden t-shirts and jeans have been transferred from the single working washer that he notices the thumping. Every now and again, something hits the glass on the front of the dryer, and Sam stands up, grimacing, because if he's accidentally washed one of the guns, Dean is going to kill him. Yanking the door open, Sam gets almost immediately hit in the face with something sweet-smelling and warm. The fact that it's trying to claw his eyes out, and failing dismally because it's, well, plush, seems little deterrent.
"Dean?"
Sam swallows hard when he manages to pry the small form from his face. I am going to kill you, Dean shrills, and Sam realizes belatedly that the thumping was the sound of Dean's boots. Wait! Sam holds Dean aloft, eyeing him critically. Are you... Dude, are you smaller? Dean lets out a battle cry and launches himself at Sam's throat. Sam is too busy thinking up jokes about shrinkage to really defend himself properly. The time with the little girl. Sam is gone for maybe 4 minutes, but obviously leaving Dean propped up on the diner table while he went to the bathroom was a mistake. His backpack is still sitting where he left it, but Dean is gone. Sam has a panicky 3 hours, making most of the diner patrons believe he is completely nuts as he demands to know just who stole his doll. When he finally returns to the motel room to regroup, Dean appears maybe 10 minutes later, letting himself into the room through the front door, which is a neat trick Sam would ask about if he wasn't so busy freaking out. He's about to demand just where Dean thought he could disappear to when he notices that Dean is carrying his small doll-sized Dean clothes in his arms and he's wearing a dress. Don't even start with me, Dean warns, trooping into the bathroom and pushing the door. It doesn't close very far, though, and Sam approaches, nudging it back open. Dean is struggling out of the dress, and Sam presses his lips together, trying not to totally lose it, when he sees that Dean is wearing a miniature undershirt and teeny tiny boxer shorts underneath. Sam instead hunkers down and picks through Dean's actual clothing, wanting to be helpful, but something is missing. Where are your jeans? He asks, holding aloft Dean's denim shirt and jacket. That evil little monster put them on a doll that wet itself, Dean says grimly, tying a washcloth around his waist like a towel. The time with the duck. What are the chances? Sam looks across the backpack propped up against the wall and Dean sitting on top of it. It really is kind of weird timing that they've stumbled across a cursed claw machine, of all things, while Dean is effectively a beanie doll. Well, Bobby said we needed one of the toys to see what kind of curse it was, Sam says, hunkering down to open the plexiglass port where you would usually retrieve your prize. Go in and grab one for me. No way, Dean says, drumming his feet. That's cheating. Sam smacks a hand to his face and rubs down. Dean, just do it, okay? I don't have time for you and your weird doll issues today. You keep accusing me of having doll issues, Dean snaps, holding up his little stumpy arms and curling them. Sam thinks maybe Dean is trying to make air quotes, but he doesn't actually have fingers. Have you thought that maybe the object will only be cursed if you win it? Sam opens his mouth and then closes it again. They've always been big on replicating the exact circumstances when dealing with curses, and so Dean, damn him, is actually making sense. All right, fine, Sam agrees, and stands back up, digging into his pockets and pulling out a stack of change. He sets it on the machine in a neat pile, eyes the metal claw dangling from the machine's top, and the pile of toys underneath, all staring up as if in adoration, and nods. Shouldn't be so hard. $12 later, and numerous trips to the smirking cashier, and Sam is out of money and patience. He feels a small nudge on his calf and looks down at Dean, who is pinwheeling his arms. Step aside for the master, Dean instructs, and monkeys up the machine's front, grasping the machine's joystick when he's at the top, which is almost as big as he is. Dean digs a coin out of the back of his pants, which makes Sam snort. Sam's scowling when Dean unerringly targets a beanie duck with a tuft of fur on top of its head and a day-glow orange beak, hits it dead center, and does a little dance of triumph when it's dropped into the chute. Dean turns and puts his arms up. You wasted all that time in school while I went to the arcade down the road, he offers by way of explanation. Back at their motel, Sam is hunched over the laptop and about to ring Bobby when he hears a squawk coming from the bathroom. A minute later, Dean appears, closely followed by the little beanie duck who basically launches itself at Dean like Dino on the Flintstones and flattens him, making a weird kind of purring quack. I hate sentient toys! Dean cries out, flipping over and trying to knock the duck off. It's persistent, though, and Sam's pretty sure in amongst the quacking, the thing is calling Dean Mama. Sam sets the phone aside. It wouldn't hurt to wait on calling Bobby for a few minutes. Or hours. The time with the Disney movie. Dude, it's just a little odd. Dean has flopped over Sam's shoulder and they're picking out movies because they've had a slow week. Passing through the kids section on the way to action, Dean had basically called a halt when he'd spotted one particular video.
"What?"
Dean demands, tugging a little too enthusiastically on the hair at Sam's nape. "She's hot!" Sam holds up Toy Story 2 and eyes it critically. The red-haired cowgirl doll grins at him from the cover. Really, there's only so much Sam can take.
I'm not going to stay in the room while you watch this, Sam says.
The Time with Bobby Singer. Bobby pretty much threatened to never take another call of theirs if he couldn't at least get one glimpse. This sees the brothers, Sam driving and Dean sitting on the dash with his boots resting against the glass, heading to Bobby's junkyard. Bobby opens the door when they arrive, takes one look at Dean perched on Sam's shoulder, and shuts it again.
You gotta leave,
Bobby manages through the door, although his voice sounds strangled.
We just got here,
Dean exclaims, and there's a weird choking noise and the sound of something falling over.
If you don't go, I'm gonna bust something,
Bobby calls back, and Sam can feel Dean start to vibrate with rage through his shoulder. End. Born Under a Doll Sign by Kellifer Fick, read by Counter Agent. Rating G. Category Gen. Summary. This time, Sam doesn't exactly see the funny side.
Let's see, Sam says mulishly, holding up a hand. Exactly how many times have I told you not to read aloud from books that are A. old, B. in a language you don't understand, and C. in a witch's house?
Dean swivels, because in his current form he can't actually turn his head, has to instead pivot with his whole body.
I thought it was a spell to make naked chicks rain from the sky.
Sam drops his head into his hands, or at least tries to. He kind of ends up curled over on himself.
Your Latin sucks, he complains.
Dean pats himself down and finally comes up with a tiny gun.
Hey, at least this time I was packing, he says gleefully, and I've had practice with this whole thing. You're the newbie.
Sam looks down at himself, at the plush body, stumpy arms, and stitched-on clothes. He looks across at his brother, who is also, currently, a doll.
I hate you.
It takes a lot of maneuvering, some colorful, although completely G-rated, cursing, and a slingshot made of Sam's tighty-whities before Dean is able to reach the phone. Luckily, he knows Bobby's number by heart, and the phone in the motel is push-button. He uses a booted foot to dial, and then he has to lie next to the receiver. He has to wait a good 10 minutes for Bobby to stop laughing, flopped on his back and drumming his feet, every now and again being hit by pushpins Sam throws at him from the floor in his impatience.
Quit it, Dean snarls, when one lodges in his button eye.
Come down here and make me, Sam yells, waggling his arms, and Dean launches himself off the phone table. They tumble about on the floor for a few minutes, trading punches and kicks before they finally break apart, Sam giving out a disgusted snort.
It's like two pillows fighting, he complains, patting at his face thoughtfully.
Just keep a lid on the outbursts, Dean scolds, pushing Sam over and moving to the phone table to stare morosely up.
It's hard to be rational in this state, he adds, thinking it probably wasn't the best idea to abandon the phone when it had been so hard to get up there in the first place.
Oh, wait, Sam says, smacking a stumpy arm over his face. He tumbles over to his duffel and disappears inside, emerging with a sock clinging to his back and his cell phone.
I guess this would have been easier in the first place.
You think? Dean snaps.
Dean yells, play dead!
Bare moments before a maid enters their room, announcing housekeeping. She peeks inside the door for a second before entering, having established that the room is empty. One white-sneakered foot treads directly on Dean, who lets out an undignified squeak, which luckily sounds exactly like the kind of sound a toy would make. The woman makes a tut of annoyance and leans over, picking Dean up. She holds him against her chest with an arm when she leans over to retrieve Sam and tosses them both on the nearest bed. As soon as she disappears into the bathroom, Sam heaves himself off Dean, who is lying prone.
Dude, Dean breathes. What?
She just smooshed my face in between her boobs. It was awesome.
Okay, you realize that's even creepier with your being a doll, right?
Sam asks, rolling away from Dean and burrowing under the edge of the blanket on the bed. He just wants to hide from this entire day.
Sammy,
Dean sing-songs, lifting the edge of the blanket. Sam in the half-light can see Dean is canting his head, and he's pretty sure it's Dean's version of a doll leer.
When are you ever going to get the chance again to be the size of a woman's cleavage?
Shut up! Sam groans, and holds his arms up to where he would assume his ears would be, if he currently had any. Bobby turns into the motel 6 hours later and manages to sweet-talk his way into getting a key. His eyes are a little red-rimmed and his cheeks pink, which Sam assumes means he got his hysterical laughter done with on the trip over. Bobby's lips tremble when he spies the both of them sitting against the foot of the bed, but he admirably holds it together.
"What are you hiding?" Dean asks suspiciously when he realizes Bobby has something behind his back.
Bobby brings out the cat carrier sheepishly, and Dean throws his arms up in the air and flails them.
"Just what exactly did you think you were going to do with that?" he demands.
"Dunno," Bobby says, scratching at his head with his free hand. "Thought you might have been one of those wetsy dolls, and didn't want doll pee on the upholstery."
"Sam, get me the pushpins," Dean says grimly.
"Sorry," Bobby apologizes when he knocks Sam off the kitchen table for the fourth time in a row by shoving his pile of books and forgetting that Sam was propped behind them. Sam accepts the brief indignity of being lifted so he can go back to researching. Dean is sitting on the other edge of the table, swinging his feet and sidling closer and closer to Bobby's beer.
"Don't even try it," Bobby says, when Dean gets close enough to lean in the beer's direction. "I'm pretty sure all you'll end up is wet."
"Hey, Bobby, I..." Both Sam and Dean look up in horror when Jo appears in the kitchen doorway. She has a camera in one hand and a shoebox in the other. Her mouth drops open and she stumbles to a halt when she spies the dolls on Bobby's kitchen table.
"Oh my God, you weren't kidding," she breathes, her eyes going large and round with mirth.
"Course I wasn't," Bobby huffs, motioning for Jo to hand over the shoebox.
"What's in there?" Dean asks, pushing himself upright.
"Oh, I thought, considering this was not the first time this has happened to you, we should do something. For posterity," Bobby says. "Maybe scare you boys straight."
"We didn't do this on purpose," Sam shrills.
"Nevertheless," Bobby says, cracking open the shoebox, "before we switch you back, which I can actually do with no problem," Bobby adds with a little eyebrow wiggle, "we'll just make sure you boys are more careful poking around a witch's stuff."
Dean backs up until he's by Sam's side. They clutch each other when Bobby upends the shoebox onto the table. It's full of Barbie clothes.
"You'll both live to regret this," Dean promises.
End. If you enjoyed listening to this fic, please remember to leave feedback for the author at kellifer-fic.livejournal.com.